How can you be a hero and protect children and families in your church from the evils of pornography? Well, go to the website, DustinDanielsRadio.com, and click on the top right, Swing for a Cause.
Overlooking downtown Phoenix, from the Faith Talk Studios in the Camelback Towers, it's the Dustin Daniels Show, where God, sex, and current events are explored from a Christian perspective. Here's your host, Dustin Daniels.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Proverbs 3, 5, and 8. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight and keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. And there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise, it brings healing. And that's Proverbs 12, 18. So can you guess the topic of today's program? Well, if you said healing, you are correct. I received an email from Greg in Atlanta, Georgia. He writes, "Hi, Dustin. I just started a small purity group at my church, and I was wondering if you could give me some practical things that I can use as I learn to facilitate this new group." Well, first of all, Greg, I think that is so cool. It's just awesome that you have chosen to lead this group. Obviously, God has led you there. That's a big decision. And I pray many blessings upon you and your church for doing so. It's so cool. And yeah, I mean, you got a great question. Facilitating a small group, it really is a big deal. I mean, for example, how do you prevent it from becoming too social versus how do you get the guy who doesn't talk at all to actually talk? And when he does talk, to get him to say more than one or two words, right? Well, today I'm going to give you 7 keys to healing for leaders. And this material, this stuff is not weighty theological stuff at all, but rather it's very practical information that I've learned over the years. And I've been taught by my own mentors as well. So I'm going to share that with you today. So 7 keys to healing for leaders. The first key to healing is this idea of just being authentic. There's an authenticity to a small group, specifically in purity. Are you going to be vulnerable as a leader, or is this only going to be like book stuff, textbook stuff? Are you going to lead from your own experience? And really, are you willing to pay the price of being authentic? Because there's a huge cost to being a mentor to men. And the biggest cost is time. These men, you know, they're going to need you in the most inconvenient and most inappropriate times. Are you going to let these men into your life also by sharing with them your past and your mistakes and ultimately your sin? Because I've found over the past decade or so that I've been doing a weekly group for the last 8 years. And I tell you, these men teach me more than I think I'm teaching them. And so to let these men into your life is just crucial. There's also this idea of authenticity to know that you cannot give to someone what you don't have yourself. So authenticity screams self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Apostle Paul writes, "Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith, to test yourselves." And Lamentations 3:40 says, Let us test and examine our ways and then return to the Lord. I love that scripture. Because if we test and examine our ways, then usually we find out how far we are away from Him, and then we return to the Lord. So, for example, if you as a leader don't have a prayer life, then how can we walk beside your men in prayer? If you don't have sexual integrity, if you're hiding something, if you're hiding your pornography use, can you actually give sexual purity to your men? If your finances are a mess, how can you effectively mentor on stewardship? Now, please don't hear what I didn't say, because I didn't say that you have to be morally perfect to be a mentor. What I am saying, though, is that you have to be authentic to bring your men into this healing relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's what a small group is, right? Especially a small purity group. This is a healing relationship with Christ Himself. And the amazing thing is that God uses you as the leader to facilitate that conversation. Mark 2:17, Jesus says, healthy people don't need a doctor. It's the sick people that do. I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know that they're sinners. So that's the first key to healing for leaders, is this idea of being authentic. The second key to healing is this idea that you don't want to play the role of the Holy Spirit. Because at the end of the day, you cannot and you will not make anyone do anything that they don't want to do. Know that we have to give men the freedom to choose. When we look at the scriptures, we look at the gospels, Jesus never chased anyone down, did he? He simply said, follow me. And then he started walking. And Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. It's been my personal experience that most men only change when they have to, especially when you're dealing with a purity group and sexual sin. I mean, think of it this way. When the pressure and the pain of our decisions become so great in our lives, it's then and only then that we seem to be willing to listen. Why? Well, because we have to change at that point. We can only run our lives into a ditch so many times to where the pain gets so great that I'm actually willing to listen. And here's the other thing as leaders, as you lead these men in a small group, is that most men have too much stuff to change. They've got too much money, they've got too much home, they've got too much car, they've got too many distractions to actually change. And you may be thinking, you know, man, this guy, his life is a train wreck. But at the end of the day, there may be lots of dysfunction in this guy's life, but you know, prayerfully, because you've been through it, that you can still live dysfunctionally inside your own dysfunction for a very long time. So my suggestion here is that you would not get in the middle of what God is doing in their life. So don't play the role of the Holy Spirit. The third key to healing for leaders is we want to call sin, sin. I hear men say stuff like this all the time. Well, Dustin, you know, I slipped up. I made a mistake. I had a lack in judgment. I screwed up. No. See, if we're talking specifically about sexual sin, it's called sin. We have to call it what it is. Sin, by definition, is not just this outward behavior against God's laws. We have to think it's more so my internal attitude. It's my motivation. It's my agenda for committing those behaviors. So your men must understand that sin is not simply a mistake. It's not like, oops, sorry, yeah, looks like I did it again. I accidentally looked at porn again. No. That's called sin. Oops, I accidentally found myself in an emotional affair at work. Oh, man, I really screwed up. My wife found me looking at porn again. Well, Dustin, man, I only had a few beers at the casino. I only had a few, but I got pulled over and I've got another DUI. See, your men must understand that Jesus Christ, he did not willingly die on a cross for their mistakes. He taught us how to live. He showed us how to die. He conquered sin and death for sin, not for misdemeanors and not for mistakes. And the fourth key to healing here is this idea of confession. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And then he's going to cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. So that's a vertical forgiveness, that we would ask God to forgive us for our sins. And then Jesus's half-brother, this verse changed my life, James 5:16. He writes he doesn't even acknowledge God, the vertical, because it's almost like he already knows that we've been doing that most of the time for years. We've been asking God to forgive us for years or even decades. But he says, confess your sins to one another. Like eyeball to eyeball, face to face. Wow. Why? Well, so that you can pray for one another. Well, why would I want this guy to pray for me? So that you can be healed. See, there's unbelievable power in confessing your sin, bringing something that's very dark and secret out of your heart and into the light, into a trusted brother. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And this idea with confession, the key here as a leader is that you go first and that you set the standard. You want these men to follow you and respect you, right? So you go first and then you go deep as well. And when you do this, oh my gosh, your life will be changed forever. I absolutely promise you that. This idea of confession will revolutionize not only your life, but also the life of the ministry and the small group. And I would encourage this idea of confessing your sins also as a major point of the night, that you would allow lots of time to do that. I am answering an email from Greg in Atlanta. And he has started a small purity group at his church, and he wanted some practical advice on how to lead this group. So that's what we're talking about today. It is the 7 keys to healing for leaders. We'll talk about a couple more when we return. You're listening to the Dustin Daniels Show.
It's very easy when your kids defy you to want to take it personally, but don't.
Grace-based advice from Dr. Tim Kimmel on today's Family Matters Minute.
When our kids disobey or disrespect us, feeling hurt is understandable. But there's wisdom when we choose to resist the urge to take our kids' bad behavior personally, even when it was done to clearly tick us off. Taking our kids' rebellion personally inclines us to respond at our worst, to over-guilt them, over-punish them, and to over-parent them. Just as our kids' words and choices often hurt us, our sinful actions hurt God. But he responds consistently with well-timed discipline and well-intended consequences, all within the framework of his love, mercy, and grace. No matter how hurtful we are to God, he never gives up on us. We do well to follow his lead.
Love can be tough and raising families can be hard work, but we'd like to help lighten your burden at familymatters.net.
Welcome back to God, Sex, and Current Events. I'm your host, Dustin Daniels. And by the way, 7 Places, the Purity Ministry. is having their first annual Swing for a Cause fundraiser. And let me tell you, we put the fun in fundraiser. We're going to be hitting thousands of golf balls at the end of October. And I would love your help. You can visit sevenplaces.org and then click on the top right. It says Swing for a Cause. And I would love for you to join us. So all you have to do is support the ministry, any dollar amount. It's a dollar per ball. And would love your help on that. So you go to the website, check it out. It's so funny, as I'm telling people about this, they're like, hey, are you going to take pictures? Because I want to see pictures of how bad of a golfer you are. But if you know my wife, Amy, people are like, well, wait a second. I want to see her hit a golf ball because we've been married going on 12 years and I've never seen her swing a club. So that should be pretty entertaining for me as well. Well, we are talking about the seven keys to healing for leaders, whether it's a small group, a purity group. And this just it doesn't just involve men. This obviously could be women as well. But as far as a sexual purity group, this is what Greg's question was from Atlanta. The fifth key to healing here is this idea of not shoulding on someone else. So don't should on me. So basically think of it this way. Don't tell your men what they should or should not be doing. So for example, when one of your guys comes to you privately, he shares with you in confidence that he thinks he drinks too much. Now notice that he didn't say he has a problem with alcohol. He just says he thinks he drinks too much. So you're the mentor. You're supposed to have all the answers. You're starting to think like, what am I going to tell this guy? And you proceed to give him two mental checklists, all the shoulds that he should be doing and all the should nots, right? Well, let me tell you, that doesn't work so well, just from experience. I mean, when you get done with your two lists, what's this guy thinking? He's thinking like, no duh, man. He's thinking, this is the kind of advice that I signed up for. Think about it. He knows what he should be doing. He just doesn't want to do it. And all those things that he shouldn't be doing, those are the things that he ends up doing. That sounds like Romans 7. If you're not familiar with Romans 7, I would make that a key point in your teaching, especially for purity groups. So when you tell people what they should and should not be doing, you're in essence giving them another set of rules. And God calls them laws like the Ten Commandments. So if this guy, just like you, couldn't keep the Ten Commandments, God's top 10, then what makes you think that he's going to follow your commandments? So rather than shoulding on your men, I would suggest asking questions. I would suggest pray as you have this conversation and keep asking questions. Because a lot of times these men, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they will end up answering their own questions. And then lastly, when someone tells you what you should and should not be doing, think about this. That only leads to more shame, and that's not healthy either. The sixth key to healing is this idea of that you're going to speak and I'm not going to flinch. You speak and I don't flinch. And the whole concept here is, are you a safe person? Through confession, as you get to know these men and women inside the small group, are you prepared to hear some things that may shock you? Some things that are going to insult you? Now, keep in mind, your physical response, especially during the confession time of your men, is crucial on whether or not you're a safe person and really if it's a safe group or not. So I would make sure that everybody knows this rule as you begin your purity group here, that when it's confession time, it's time to put poker faces on. Because if someone responds after somebody confesses something, well, then you've just judged them, right? So your job is not to condemn. Your job is to love. I mean, what you want to do is look how Jesus dealt with sexual sinners in the gospel. He gave them so much grace. He listened to them. He talked to them. He spent a lot of time with them. But at the end of the day, he went and he said, go and sin no more. So it's this idea of you speak and I don't flinch. Now, a side note on this. If there's a confession of laws, state laws being broken, abuse happening, then that's a different story. And you can let this guy know for the safety of other people involved that if a law has been broken, you have the moral obligation to call the police and work this out. And this is like real life stuff. This stuff happens. There are consequences. But the reality is that you love this guy so much that you're willing to do that. So you speak and I don't flinch. The last key that I'd like to talk about is this idea of that you never, ever, ever, never, ever want to lose your temper. And this obviously doesn't promote healing. It only hampers it. They may end up forgiving you, which is a good thing, but the reality is that you've lost your witness because you've lost your temper. Once again, we got to look at the life of Jesus. When did he only get upset? When did he get mad? And he did get mad. He got mad at the pastors, at the ministers, at the priest of his day. They were called Pharisees and Sadducees. The scribes, he got mad at these guys because they were preventing people from actually getting into the kingdom of God. And so you can read about that in the scriptures on what he did. He didn't lose his temper in a way to where he was out of control. But he was very thoughtful and yet very effective in how he dealt with his anger as well. So those are the keys to healing for leaders. You know, another side note here, maybe another suggestion is this idea of meeting these guys and these women where they are. It's this idea of if you're a big Bible guy, if you're a big Bible guy and you've got all this knowledge, and obviously you're going to be very, very excited, you still want to meet people where they are because they may not know the Bible. They most likely do not. So don't assume that they are as knowledgeable as you are in some of these scriptures. I would suggest reading the scriptures and just don't quote the scriptures. Read a lot of scripture. You can read third-party books and all that stuff is great and wonderful. But at the end of the day, that stuff is not the Word of God. To read out loud the Word of God in the group and have your men, have your women actually have them read it as well. So, Greg, I pray that these keys to healing for leaders have given you a guideline and a practical application on what to do, how to implement these things into your brand new group right there in Atlanta, Georgia. God bless you, my friend. I am excited for you. If you are new to this radio program, well, welcome. You can find out more about me and about the program at DustinDanielsRadio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. If you're listening to the show on iTunes, I would love for you to jump on and rate the show. That'd be way cool. Thank you to all of our OnePlace.com listeners as well. And if you have a question for me, email me. Jump on the website and do so. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living and living in God's power. I pray that you walk worthy this week. I love you.
The Dustin Daniels Radio Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering counseling advice for your personal situation. If you need further help, we encourage you to seek the services of a Christ-based counseling professional. For more information on the radio show, visit DustinDanielsRadio.com.